This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Sean Fitzgerald, Town Administrator, Town of Swampscott. And Sean, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bill. Great to catch up with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. We haven't talked in a long time, but Sean, we were just talking before we began. So you're closing in on 6 years as Town Administrator in Swampscott. So I guess congratulations on all of that. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's really always been a wonderful opportunity for me. You know, I think back about my great-grandparents who moved to Swampscott in the 1920s, and my grandparents who lived here as a child. I came to Swampscott from South Peabody, and I would visit, and I would think, geez, you know, this is just a wonderful community. It was the people that really, you know, made this town so extraordinary to me. And I know everybody talks about Swampscott's waterfront and beaches, but it's always the people. And, you know, Swampscott's just a wonderful town. A lot of folks that really do care about community, and it's been a wonderful opportunity for me to just contribute to a place that, you know, I've had a lifelong connection with.
Absolutely. Well, Sean, let's get right to it. This week in the news, there was a story about a swastika that was painted on a street in Swampscott. And I know that you've had some meetings on that this week and even today as we speak. So what is the update on that and with the police investigation and so on with that?
Yeah, Bill, you know, these are unfortunately an awful symbol of hate. You know, it really is important for us to think about our responsibilities to stand up and address these incidences of hate. We've seen a tremendous rise in our country with incidences of assault and harassment and anti-Semitism. It's in the media. We have sports figures and, you know, media figures that are espousing anti-Semitic hate. And we've got to really stand up as a community against this and let folks know what our values are. This morning, I joined a group of police chiefs and a number of regional officials on the North Shore Advisory, ADL's North Shore Advisory Committee over at Temple Emmanuel in Marblehead. And Paul Tucker, our district attorney, talked about his work to really support additional efforts, both through the judiciary, but also with our legislature on how we can help support community initiatives that really help our young adults and our, frankly, our school children really understand, you know, the horrific elements of anti-Semitism and hate. We heard today that, you know, upwards of 60% of our under 18-year-olds don't even know about the Holocaust. And so it's incredibly important for all of us to talk about just the inhumanity that happened just in our recent history and make sure that everybody understands that, you know, hate starts in small ways that leads to absolutely tragic you know, actions. And so we've got to really, you know, continue to talk about this. Swampscott really has focused on efforts to try to build a broader community. Swampscott has, you know, over the last few years, you know, started to have more community programs focused on, you know, our Pride Day. We had just a couple of dozen folks show up for that event just a few years ago. Now we have hundreds. And same with our Juneteenth event. These efforts to really build community help address mental health. They also help break down that social isolation. It brings meaning. It brings a lot of opportunity for folks to really understand that we are all human and we all are part of a community and we all need each other and we need to really help each other and address that sense of loneliness or isolation that sometimes is the fertile ground for folks to really be persuaded by white supremacist or hate folks that really want to create a divisive discord in our communities and in our nation. I really do believe that Swampscott, you know, has wonderful citizens and you know, individuals that are focused on trying to recognize the value and dignity of everyone. And really, we have to confront, you know, what I think is national, you know, trends that, frankly, are trying to create a sense of division and fostering more anti-Semitism and more hate. So we've got to really recognize this as a clear and present danger to our democracy and to our community.
Sean, there are a number of other topics that I want to ask you about, and there's no smooth transition from that one to any of the other ones, I imagine. But let me just jump. You mentioned education. I'll just go to the schools for a moment. Tell me about school construction in Swampscott, because there is a large elementary school project underway, right, and others. So what can you tell me about school construction in Swampscott?
Well, this is really, you know, a wonderful story because it really reflects the generational investments that Swampscott is really focused on making. A few years ago, prior to my tenure as town administrator, the town was looking to build a new elementary school. Swampscott had three of the oldest elementary schools in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and, you know, it stood in, I think, a sharp contrast to a lot of the values of this community. I mean, Swampscott has always been known for its investment in education, and we pride ourselves on the quality of education that we provide our students. But for whatever reason, the town had just a hard time, you know, supporting a new elementary school project. We're currently investing over $100 million in building what will be the most extraordinary elementary school in the Commonwealth. We're building the Stanley School, but the new Stanley School will be a twin school. It will be a consolidation of all three of our elementary schools, and it will reflect a really mindful and thoughtful program for education. We've already started the construction of the school. We're you know, we've demolished the old school. We had a wonderful ceremony, and we have had a groundbreaking ceremony. And as we look to 2023, you know, we will be building that school, and you will see a wonderful school rise up from that ground. That area, you know, frankly, has just a wonderful history, and it on some level is sacred, given the history of that school. My grandmother was a school nurse at the Stanley School and Hadley School, and, you know, for me, it's a wonderful way for this generation to give a gift to future generations. It's certainly a busy year when communities start to build new, when they're building a new school. It really is an extraordinary process, and we have a wonderful building committee. You know, our select board and our school committee and our superintendent have all worked very hard over the last few years with the Massachusetts School Building Authority to get funding and to have that school really reflect what ultimately will be a gold standard for educational, you know, space, and you know, it's going to be a you know, wonderful legacy for Swampscott.
Yeah, new school buildings this day and age really do pump life, I think, into the educational system and into a district. With case in point, your new high school, which then allowed the middle school to shift to where the high school was. And, you know, Sean, I remember that old middle school that was up on the top of the hill there that's no longer there. It's now condos. But that was a great old building, but of no use anymore for education, for sure.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it's the highest point in Swampscott, but yeah. It now is a wonderful home to a lot of folks. And, you know, still, if you drive by, you can see that building's been brought back to a productive use on our tax rolls, and it helps us, you know, just continue to see these properties renewed and brought back to, productive reuse.
You know, the schools are always probably, if not the top topic for communities, but if not the top one, the top three, and another one of those top three has to be police. And Sean, you guys in Swampscott have a new police chief here in the last several months. So tell me about that and the chief and how things have been going in the police department.
Oh, I'm really thrilled to just share a few updates on Dr. Ruben Quesada. Ruben was a deputy chief that we were able to hire out of civil service. Previously, the town had been restricted to just hiring individuals that were in the department, and certainly we were well served by a number of chiefs. Ron Madigan was, Swampscott's chief for close to 20 years, and Chief Madigan had done an extraordinary job. But to really sit down and have the chance to really look at an individual like Chief Quesada, in his background, he really comes to Swampscott, with a whole range of 21st century policing ideas and experiences. He's been very busy, helping our police department really focus on some of those tenets of police reform that really helps us focus on, evolving practices. Swampscott recently implemented a body camera program just a few weeks ago that now has all of our police officers wearing a body camera that can help us and just ensure that we are protecting both our residents but also our officers from any type of claim that there may be some inappropriate activity. But to me, these are the steps that we're taking to really strengthen our trust and credibility when it comes to how we police. Chief Quesada has been doing a terrific job just getting out and meeting folks. He was with me today at the meeting with the regional police chiefs at the ADL North Shore Task Force, and he's certainly doing a wonderful job just getting out and building those relationships that ultimately will help us build community and help reduce crime and support a number of those key priorities. I think, as one of the most densely settled communities in the Commonwealth, I think everybody realizes that pedestrian safety is a critical challenge for Swampscott, and our enforcement abilities, have a lot to do with just reminding everybody that, distracted driving and, not being focused on all of the elements of the road safety, can be really tragic. And we want to make sure that, our police department is really focused on some of those pedestrian safety responsibilities. That said, we have a wonderful police department. We have a lot of folks that are really rallying around our new chief and really helping to support, some of these extraordinary changes that ultimately will build a stronger public safety function.
Now, just a moment ago, you mentioned civil service, and that was something that just recently occurred in Swampscott, getting out of civil service. Tell me about that and the reason why, and I think you kind of touched on it, but a bit more how that's impacted hiring in the town.
Sure. Bill, the civil service system for, many, many years did help protect, the hiring process from nepotism and really the political influence of within, elected officials and hiring of police officers and firefighters and teachers. And after, just about a century of working with the civil service system, we knew it really wasn't helping us attract a more diverse or inclusive workforce. We had, it had been, almost 20 years since we hired a female for our police or fire department. I think, close to 15 or 20 years since that happened. And, we were looking to really ensure that, these jobs were more inclusive. And, when we looked at the number of individuals that we were forced to choose from, we just knew that we had very little opportunity to hire anyone else but a white male. And so when we proposed that we leave civil service, we were able to work with town meeting and get a home rule petition passed. Governor Baker signed that a year ago, and over the last year, Chief Archer and Chief Quesada have really worked hard to go out and ensure that we advertised these positions and got a robust pool of candidates that applied for these positions, and we've been able to hire a number of very diverse candidates for our fire department and our police department. We continue right now to be posting for exams. If anyone is interested in being a police officer or a firefighter in Swampscott, please go to our website. Please reach out to my to Chief Graham Archer in our fire department or Chief Ruben Quesada in our police department and talk to them about these extraordinary opportunities. These are wonderful jobs. Anybody now can apply. You don't have to find out when the civil service exam is, in some months and try to get on a list that, is, very restrictive. You can apply for these jobs, and anybody can be hired if you have the type of qualifications and the experience that we're looking for. So.
Interesting. Okay. I think that every town has these places where people go to, are, iconic places. And Anthony's Hawthorne Restaurant right on the water there in Swampscott is one of those places in Swampscott. But, all these reports, it's closing, it's been sold, then it's staying open. So what is the latest with Anthony's Hawthorne Restaurant? Because the town has basically, as I understand it, bought that property, correct?
The town actually owns Anthony's Hawthorne on the water, and frankly, I just have a huge appreciation for Anthony Athanas. Anthony is the son of Anthony Athanas, who started the Hawthorne restaurants that were in Boston and Lynn and Swampscott and down in the Cape. One of our nation's greatest restaurateurs, but for about a year and a half, I worked closely with Anthony Athanas on negotiating, the purchase and sale for the Hawthorne. I'm really excited to really see, what this property will become, on January 28th, we have a community event that we're planning in the morning over at the Hawthorne. We're going to invite the entire community to come over and just, share some ideas about what they think the best use of that property will be. We haven't really set the time, but you can go to the town website and over the next few days, and you can see some updates on the design development. We're going to have a number of community meetings over the next few months to really talk about, how do we want to use the property? Do we really want to have an open space? Do we want to have, some type of, boardwalk? What's the right strategy? But from my perspective, it really is a iconic piece of property that overlooks the capital city of New England. It's a wonderful investment in open space, and I think it really reflects the Swampscott Select Board's desire to really balance a lot of the priorities. When you look at, construction of the new elementary school and the acquisition of, the Hawthorne and also $1 million worth of open space that they acquired last week, at Zero Archer, to really, help a town that is really densely developed, just, have a little bit more open space. I think it does reflect that broader focus on master planning, but certainly exciting and looking forward to many more months of seeing Anthony serve popovers and wonderful meals. They have, a lease with the town to remain in operation for the next year. So if you want to go back and really enjoy some of those classic menu items, I would encourage you to get over there soon. I can't tell you how long it's going to remain open, but I am quite certain that you'll have a hard time finding a popover that will be as memorable as the one that you would get over at Anthony's Hawthorne.
So you are encouraging everyone to pop over to Anthony's Hawthorne.
Right,
there you go. I don't want to get you in trouble here, Sean, but I know you have a nice view from your office there in the center of town there in Swampscott, but that would be a nice place for town hall.
I have thought about it, Bill. I went over there the other day to tour the facility with the insurance company, and I thought, just for a couple months, maybe I could move my desk over there. But honestly, when I think about that building, I would love to see a few of the North Shore high schools, use that for a prom before we ultimately have to take the building down. It's just a beautiful location, and I want to make sure that it has a last hurrah. So lots of ideas are going around in terms of, what really, should be the right way for us to celebrate, that building. I know, there's so many stories, so many movies have been filmed over there, so many, weddings and events. As a kid who had grandparents and great-grandparents who grew up in Swan, I had many birthdays and many events over there, and just, for me, it has an enchanted, place in hearts and minds, and we want to make sure that we celebrate that, but also we really pivot to the future and think about what that bold idea is. This is one of the most important waterfront properties in Greater Boston, and has one of the most iconic views of Boston, and we want to make sure that we really get this right. And there's no idea that we don't want to really put up on the board, and we want folks to be as ambitious about this and as bold in their thinking as possible.
It almost, Sean, not to belabor this, but that building, I'm thinking, almost has like a sunrise and a sunset view, which is very unique, I think. You know what I'm saying? It probably
it
does.
It is.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You can kind of see the entire arc of the sun and the windows. It's just a fantastic spot. If you've ever been over there during a thunder and lightning storm, you can see the entire, waterfront of Boston light up, and it's just one of those incredible places. But it will be something very different over the next few years, so this is our chance to really celebrate it, but also kind of pivot to the future and think about, how will that property synergize, the broader focus on on creating Humphrey Street and creating that sense of, excitement on the waterfront. Swampscott has a harbor and waterfront plan that envisions a lot of really key investments in the waterfront. We're currently evaluating designs for reconstructing the historic pier at our fish house. It's completely inadequate. This past 2 weeks ago, we had a major storm that popped up planks on the pier. It really just is going to take a few more storms, and that entire pier structure could be lost. And we want to build a more resilient pier that really does help Swampscott.
Sean, I know our time's kind of running short here, but I'm glad you did mention the waterfront projects and so on that we have talked about now a couple of years ago now. But is there anything more you wanted to mention about open space and acquisitions in the town?
you know, just that, you know, we last week, you know, we were able to work out a purchase and sale with Peter Panizelos, extraordinary individual that was able to sell over $1 million piece of open space that was currently slated to be a multi-unit development to the town. And that really does, you know, help the town, you know, strike that balance with, you know, new growth. We have a number of developments that are happening. The historic Glover property now is being developed into a multi-unit complex that will have some affordable units as part of their overall approach. We're working with Marblehead and Leggett McCall on that project. We have another project that is in development on Elm Street. And so Swampscott's busy, you know, just thinking about, you know, how we meet our affordable housing responsibilities. Swampscott is really focused on building more affordable housing, but we want to do it the right way. And we want to do it as we balance, you know, the educational and open space needs of the town. So this is what happens when I think a community really does, you know, start to focus on, you know, its municipal finances. You know, over the last few years, we've worked hard to kind of tighten up our budget, build up our financial reserves, you know, keep our tax levy steady. You know, if you look around and compare Swampscott to other communities, just a few years ago, we had the third highest average single-family tax bill in Essex County. Today, you know, we have moved down. We still have one of the higher ones, but we're, you know, probably close to the, you know, ninth highest or tenth highest. For 4 years in a row, we dropped our average single-family tax bill. So from 2017 to 2021, our tax average single-family tax bill went down. This year, it went up slightly due to the construction of the new school, but we're going to continue our focus on managing it all, and that really helps us, you know, accomplish quite a bit. You know, and I think that's a real testament to local officials and finance committee members and town meeting. Ultimately, they've figured out that, you know, they can do it all if they balance all of these priorities.
Sean, I have one final question. Maybe it's on taxes. Maybe it's on town meeting planning for 2023, but close it out for us. What else can you share with us?
I would say that 2023 is going to be as exciting, and we have some really wonderful community events planned, things that really are going to help build on a tremendous synergy you know, for community. People are there. They need community events, and they need activities to address a lot of the mental health challenges. And we want to make sure that folks know that, you know, Swampscott's going to become, you know, very busy, just helping folks, you know, really enjoy a wonderful quality of life. We're going to go back to some simple, you know, community programs and initiatives, low-cost, no-cost events that really just help folks enjoy this extraordinary hometown.
Got it. Sean, thanks so much for your time, the information that you've given us here today, and hopefully we can talk again soon. So thanks so much for all of this information.
Let's get over to the Hawthorne and have a popover.
Exactly. I'm with you on that, by the way. Absolutely, right. Yeah. Sean Fitzgerald, town administrator, Town of Swampscott, here on MSONewsSports.com.